blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Bless her. A perfect submission. All is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Never fail.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Hope to Beach Church. Glad you're here with us today. My name is Jason. I'm honored to be the pastor here at Hope to Beach. And we are delighted you're here with us today. We call this a grace place, a place that's okay not to be okay. This is no judgment zone.
Mike.
Our heart is that you just have a time where you can connect with Jesus. In your worship folder, though, we want to recognize your presence with us. We believe you're a gift that God's brought here. So there's a connection card that looks like this. And we'd love to be able to recognize you. And also, there's an opportunity to share any prayer requests you have. We'd love to be able to pray with you and to be there in your spiritual journey. We're in a series of divine. I've got the button.
Nope.
There it is.
There's the button. So we're in a series called Divine, God's Design, Divine Disciple, there it is. And so today, you know, God has designed our body for more than just greater reasons than maybe we can understand. And so today we're going to talk about how the eyes that God has designed for us and to help us be a disciple that follows Him. So with that, I invite you to rise as we join together in worship. And for those aligned, grateful to have you with us too. So, Heavenly Father, we do. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in You who made His beginning with us when You chose us through these waters, that we may not know a day without You. You draw to us without us doing anything. And so, God, we recognize You have come to us here and that You see us. And it's a joy for You to be with us now. And so the God who saves us, we are grateful and we lift up our voices to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
God, I'm on my knees again. God, I'm begging, please again, I need you. Oh, I need you. Walking down these desert roads, water for my thirsty soul, I need you. Oh, I need you. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin. A dead man walking, slave to sin. I want to know about being born again. I need you. Oh God, I need you. So take me to the riverside. Take me under, baptize. I need you. Oh God, I need you. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin. I don't want to abuse your grace, God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change. I don't wanna abuse your grace, God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change. God, I don't wanna abuse your grace, God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin, like holy water on my skin. Like holy water on my. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. Oh, I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. I know who I am. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. Do you believe it? Oh, I have a future, and it's worth the living. yeah. Oh, I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. Hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll bring out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past, I'm not going back. Hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past, I'm not going back. Oh, I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. Thank you, Heavenly Father. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more.
So what takes someone from tending a grave to praise a God who calls your name? Because your name gets called, what do? You look. And that's what God wants to do today. He wants us to look at Him, not the grave. Amen? You may be seated. You ever been looking for something and like it was right in front of you the whole time? Have you been there? Yes. I mean, you're tearing a house apart. The keys are gone. The phone is gone. Glasses are on your head. And someone walks in and like in 2 seconds goes, "There it is." And there's like two emotions that happen at the same time. One is like there is some relief, like, oh, we found it. But then there's like this little bit of embarrassment because it was there the whole time. It wasn't hidden. You just didn't see it. And the truth is that doesn't just happen with keys. It happens with life. It happens with people. It even happens with Jesus. So here's the question we have to wrestle with today. What if the most important thing about your life is right in front of you and you're just not seeing it? What if you are missing what God is doing? What if you're misreading the people around you? What if you're chasing things that look right but aren't life-giving? What if the issue is not effort, but it's our sight? And the good news is that the Hebrew writer tells us where we are to look. And so Hebrews 12, he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance a race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Where do our eyes need to be? Our eyes, the Hebrew says, fixing, like actively looking to Jesus. He's saying, look, there is a great cloud of witnesses. There is numerous witnesses who can testify that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the promised one. The one that God spoke about, who had come and died and rose, is the author and perfecter. So fix your eyes on him. Why? Because he is the one, and this is what he does. He gives faith. He sustains you in the faith. He's the pioneer. He's the author. He's the giver. He's the writer, the perfecter of our faith. It's on him. See, faith is not a journey of work harder, do better. It's a eyes are opening up to the realization God gave us Jesus. And who he is, and what he's done for you and me. See, that's our true north. That's where we need to stay focused on. Not what the world says, not what our hearts say, not what our leaders say, not what the church says. I ain't a pastor. Fixed on Jesus. And this is so important. Because what we see is what we do. We do what we see. We don't think so as adults, but we do. How many times has maybe your spouse had looked at you and say, you're acting like your father or your mother or your brother, whatever, right? Because it's what you see. Like if I FaceTime the grandkids and I put a big smile on and what do they do? Smile right back. If something breaks in my house, I don't read a manual. Not because I can't read. It just don't help me see. I look at YouTube and I watch a video. I don't even need the sound. I just need to watch it. Because we want to see it so we can do it. Because what we see is what we will do. Now, seems rather easy. Sermon done. easier said than done, isn't it? It's hard. Because something is already shaping your sight, which is number one. Sin distorts what you see. Sin distorts what you see. Jesus said this, if your right eye causes you to sin, do what? Tear it out and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. He's saying we do not see naturally. We don't see clearly naturally. It's kind of like you're driving, and you're driving down the road, and you're feeling good, and you're like, hey, I'm awake, everything's great, and you're looking ahead, and then you want to change lanes, so you do the old mirror check, maybe, look at the car, and then you start to change lanes, and all of a sudden you get this, and this horn that gets blown out next to you, because there's a car there. And it's in your blind spot. You didn't see it. But it was there the whole time. And in that moment, you realize something. Just because you don't see something, don't see it exactly, you don't see something doesn't mean it's not there. And sometimes what we don't see is exactly what can hurt you. And we have spiritual blind spots. We all have them. And the danger isn't just that they exist, is that we don't know they exist. And that's what sin does. It blinds us. It distorts our vision of ourselves. It distorts our vision of others. It even distorts our vision of God. It distorts our vision that we don't even see how our actions are affecting others. That's why we're so often shocked to discover them, because in our mind we looked. We thought we were good. And yet we still were wrong. See, all disciples need to recognize they have a distorted vision, blind spots. John tells us a little bit more why. He says in John 2, 1 John 2, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world." And I think we can all say we know how this feels. We know how it feels because the world is discipling our eyes. And it's a struggle. It tells us what is good. It tells us what is right because it's appealing to this flesh in us. In our world, if we go through social media, bombards us with images, fishing around, trying to catch our eyes. Because it knows our eyes are drawn to what sparkles, what looks promising and impressive, what feeds our pride, what feeds our lust, what makes us feel powerful. There's a lady at the beach, came up to me after service, and she goes, "You do realize you were talking about this, and there's this lifeguard just in his shorts stretching and exposing himself to me the whole time, and I was not really paying attention." It's hard. Our eyes get pulled. They take us. I saw a conversion van on social media, and I thought, oh man, great memories of the kids and all the journeys we did and stuff like that. And I started thinking, maybe that'd be great to have today. And it's funny how that just keeps coming up on my reel all the time. Conversion van, conversion van, conversion van. And it's just these eyes that catch our attention. And Satan's been doing it all the time. Genesis 3, what did he do? He showed Adam and Eve the fruit, the food. And the Bible says in Genesis 3 that that food, that fruit to Adam and Eve looked good, looked pleasing, delightful to the eyes. And it became desirable for wisdom. See, what we call temptation often is opportunity. We call opportunity. We call envy motivation. We call greed wisdom. We call idolatry success. You see, it gets our attention through our eyes, and our eyes start to get fixed on it. And what happens is it not just has our attention, it gets our devotion. It gets our heart. See, sin does not just make us do wrong, it makes us see wrong. And if that's true, then we're in more trouble than we think. Because if our vision is distorted, how can we fix it? And here's the good news where Jesus steps in. Number two, Jesus sees us before we see him. He sees us before we see him. Before we fix our eyes on Jesus, Jesus fixed his eyes on us. Jesus saw your rebellion. He saw your shame. He saw the patterns that keep hurting people. He saw the blind spots in your life that you're not even aware of. He saw the moments that you wish you could take back. He saw all of it. And he didn't turn away. He moved towards you. Paul says in Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us, for while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Notice he didn't say after we cleaned our act up, after we got our eyes straight and clear. No, while we were still seeing everything wrong, Christ died for us. See, A, you are not saved because you finally looked at Jesus. You are saved because Jesus never stopped looking at you. He never stopped looking at you. Hebrews 12 says, it was the joy set before him. He went to the cross. What is the joy? I mean, crucified on a cross is no joyride. But what was the joy? His eyes were fixed on you. For you to have salvation. For you to know him. Jesus went to the cross. He saw you. And he didn't see the cleaned up version of you. He saw the real you. And he said, it's worth it. It's worth it. See, some of you, you don't struggle to see Jesus. You struggle to believe that he can look at you like that. But he does. He did. And he still is looking at you like that. The joy set before him. Jesus saw the worst in you and he stays fixed on you. So if Jesus has seen you, he has loved you, died for you, then something changes. See, you don't just get forgiveness from Jesus. You get new sight from Jesus. Number three, Christ gives us new eyes to see the world. New eyes. Peter writes, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The guy who was healed and recorded in the Gospel of John, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. I have new sight. Every year, I get my eyes checked, go into that office, sit in that uncomfortable chair, and then they throw that machine over your face and like lean in, like, okay. And they're like, all right, can you see? Click. Nope. Can you see now? Two. Okay, here we go. One, two. I don't know. One, two, and they keep clicking around. And then all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, yeah, that's it. That's it. Like everything comes in a sharp focus. And you can finally see clearly. And once you've seen clearly, I mean, you don't want to go back. They flick it. No, that doesn't work. I want to stay here. Because when you've seen clearly, you realize how much you're missing. When our daughter was in third grade, we took her to get glasses, and on the way home from the place, she's sitting there going, I didn't know we had those stores in our neighborhood. I didn't know that. I mean, she didn't see anything around. But now she can see it all. See, here's the crazy thing, maybe a little scary. Most of us don't realize how blurry our vision is until Jesus starts clearing it up. See, when Jesus clears it up, it's a different world out there. Life looks different. Events are not just events. News is not just news. Shifts in a culture are not just shifts in a culture. See, grace doesn't just give you a heart transplant. It gives you eyes of light. If you remember the movie The Matrix, you might remember The Matrix, right? Take the pill. Which one are you going to take? But realize, you take this pill, you're going to see everything different. You can't go back. Now, it's not a pill, but when you've got the Spirit of God in you and His grace, He gives you new eyes. It changes the way you see the world. And really, if you watch the movie Matrix, it's really watching him trying to learn how to adjust his whole life to what he can see. The difference. Apostle Paul talks about this in Ephesians. He says, look, I know that like all this stuff's going on in the world around you, but you need to realize the stuff in your life, this is what's going on. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Eyes of faith see that these things going on are spiritual battles that are happening. They're not just coincidences. I mean, this is why we have this series. This is to understand what it really is to be a disciple by design, that God has designed and given us in His grace. He's given us mind, that He's given by grace to be a mind that is set above, that's not stuck in earthly battlegrounds, but set above to heavenly things that are good things, God things, eternal things. And that a God in His grace has not just cleansed you, did a little repair, but He gave you a new heart. A heart that carries the incredible message and power of salvation to the world. And also, He gives us these eyes of light, these eyes of faith. That changes you and the world around you. See, discipleship is not some program. Discipleship isn't just some knowledge. Being a disciple is what? Having Jesus in you, His grace and presence in your whole body. Not just knowledge. And so, it changes us around. And so, we see the need for compassion. When Jesus saw the crowds, this is Palm Sunday, He had a compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. It's one of my favorite scriptures that Jesus is coming out of the Mount of Olives and He's up on the mountain looking down, coming in Jerusalem, and He's seeing all these people from all over who have made a spiritual pilgrimage. I mean, this journey is a spiritual journey that they come in for this week, for the high festival of Passover, the most holy time of the year. And yet He's looking at them and He's saying, they are spiritually blind. They have no idea what's going on. And they're going to be harassed and they are helpless to it because they do not have the eyes of faith to see the reality of this moment that Jesus is walking in, that God is doing. And they're being harassed and run over by the religious leaders. And the leaders of that day. And is it really any different today? Falsehood has led people astray. Falsehood has captured people's hearts and minds and leaves them helpless. It harasses them with such anger. And even in a church, so many people want to be a Christian and not have a shepherd. And they go through being harassed and helpless and trying to make it. And when Jesus sees people like that, He doesn't roll His eyes. He doesn't say, donkey, turn around. He doesn't write them off, but he moves towards them. And he lays his life down for them. So in our eyes, I've been shaped by Jesus and given that kind of clarity in the world, and we see the crowds. It should move in our heart. See, compassion is a heart that hurts. It has pity because of what they're going through. And compassion is not just, oh, I feel sorry that that's happening, but compassion is tied to action. And Jesus took action, and he calls his church to be disciples that have eyes that see. So they what? They can see and have compassion and take action and lay their life down for others. Just as Jesus did. See, it changes things. B, we recognize faith in others. Mark 2:5, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." See, one of the greatest joys of being a pastor is hearing other people say, just like they did at the funeral, I had people come up to me and say, "Man, your church is filled with faith. I see Jesus in it." One of the guys at the beach always says, "Man, hope is like hope in action. You can see the hope of Jesus in action amongst the people." And that's part of like being a disciple. These friends have their friend who's stuck on a mat, and they say, "Look, they're just going to go get you and take you to Jesus." Now, they're not just carrying a friend because it's a moral thing to do. They're not just doing it because maybe they got emotional reasons. They just have sorry for him. They're doing it because what? They want to bring him to Jesus. Because Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. And in Jesus is that they trust. And so as we as a church, as we do programs or do events or we provide hospitality and we greet people and we welcome people, we're not doing that because that's just the Southern right thing to do. We're doing that because in our hospitality, we are bringing people to Jesus. When we take a worship service and say we're going to go to the beach or someplace else, we're not doing it because it's cool or fashionable. We're doing it because we're trying to, this is our service to bring people to Jesus. Because that's what disciples do. They bring people to Jesus. That's what it looks like. Because sometimes it's going to be you, our friend, who's going to be on that proverbial mat, who's going to be paralyzed, who's going to be stuck emotionally or spiritually, and they can't get up on their own. And it may be they don't have faith, or it may they do have faith. In the story of Mark here, this guy had faith. He just couldn't do anything. Because he didn't have faith, he would have told his guys, "Go take a hike." Because after all, two guys say, "We're going to take you to Jesus, drag you across town. Oh, by the way, it's busy, so we're going to fling you up on a ladder, onto a stranger's roof, rip open the roof, and by the way, we're going to wrap you in rope and then let you hang down in front of Jesus." That's a redneck plan if I ever heard one, right? And Jesus says, "I see your faith." He recognizing that. See, discipling, being a disciple is not just believing, but it's doing whatever it takes short of sinning to bring people to Jesus. It is see to faith and see God moving and what God is doing and join in that movie. That's why we call, moving. That's why we call it partnership in that class. We're trying to help you to partner with what Jesus is doing so you can see it and be part of it. Letter C, we see people without Christ and we feel sorrow. When I look around here, I see dead people all the time on the beach. I see dead people around town. Literally, walking dead. Well, they don't look dead. They're not like the fish that washed up. They don't look dead. On the contrary, they look very much alive. And to be transparent, I know this because I lived it. They enjoy life to the fullest. Life is a party filled with pleasure. Let's just look good and be successful. In fact, they can even be religious. They can even act, be faithful. They can know scriptures. They can even do good things and yet still be dead. Because you can do all of those without Christ. And Jesus mourns this. In Matthew 23, he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophet and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered you or your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wing, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate." Jesus is showing his hurt for the burden for those who don't know him. "I've sent messenger after messenger. I bring the word. I bring you salvation. I want to gather you. I want you to have this love. It's for all. But you destroy it. You kill it. You reject it. And it's a burden." I mean, it's one of the reasons why I believe the Lord called me into ministry. It's not because I'm super talented or good looking or came from a great family or very spiritual. Although some of those are true. I'm just kidding. But I had friends in and out of the church that were dead. And I want an experience, a church that was spiritually blind to what was going on around people's lives. And their hearts were asleep to what God was doing. And he didn't care. And my best friend I grew up with, played ball with, went to school with, sat with, got in trouble with in the lunchroom all the time, in seventh grade, did a drug overdose. And I lost him. And it hurt. It put a burden on me. Like, I don't want to see my friends doing a joy ride to hell. I don't want to see people I know doing joy rides to hell and being lost. I don't want to see people who just go to church and just show up and it never gets past just attending or pretending they're doing a religious thing and yet not know the Jesus of the Bible who has revealed himself, who gives new eyes and life and heart. It's a burden. It's why I want to do what we do. Because I don't want anybody in my watch, in my life, be lost. See, Jesus' grace, they give us new eyes. And number four, these new eyes let us see God's glory. Simeon says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Disciples see Jesus. Simeon, what did he have? He was waiting around to die. But he had the promise of God, this word, that you will not die until you see the Messiah, the promised one. And he saw it was fulfilled in his life. That's what it is. A disciple with the eyes of faith, they see the Word of God, the living Word of God. They see Jesus in it, and they see it in their lives and the lives around them. Bob was a disciple. He had eyes of faith. He wasn't perfect, but what's amazing about Bob, and I said this at the funeral, as a disciple, he had incredible peace. Because those words of promise, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son to die for it, whoever believes in him shall have eternal life, was Bob's verse, Bob's belief. It was personal. It was real. And Bob knew he had peace with God and eternal life with him because he saw that Jesus gave him peace. And even at the end of his life in the battles, you go to see him. And what he would do, he would share Jesus with you. He shared Jesus with his pickleball people who did not know Jesus. And he shared it boldly and again and again and again. See, what's amazing is the older you get, maybe this will happen for you, or maybe when life really pushes in on you and you're getting near your, you can see the end in sight. What happens is like the faith puts blinder on your eyes and the world, you go, man, this stuff doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus. And if my family, my people around me don't know Jesus, what did I do? And God does that because the Jesus is there with you in the midst of your pain and would say, look, I want you to have comfort. I want you to know I conquered death for you. I want you to see the glory of the Father who comes to you even in the most darkest time and brings light. A memory verse, Psalm 119:18. Let's read together. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. It's a beautiful like prayer. Open my eyes, God. God, I know I got a distorted vision, but I need you to open my eyes to see you. So let me ask you one more time. What are your eyes fixed on? And what would change if you looked at everything through Jesus? So what does that mean for your life this week? Well, for some of you, you've been looking at everything else. Your problems, your fears, your past, your failures, and what everyone else thinks. And it's exhausting you. And what you need to know is Jesus is not standing far away at a distance saying, if you would just try harder, you could see me. If you would just really focus in. No, Jesus is looking at me, at you. And Jesus is saying, look at me. Look at me. Look at me in my word. Look at me on the cross. Look at me in the empty tomb. Look at me in the font where I chose you. Look at me at the table where I feed you. He's saying, look again. And we come Sunday to keep looking again at Jesus. Because the Christian life is not sustained by try harder, do better. It's sustained by repeatedly looking at Jesus until the mercy becomes a lens through which you see everything else. So today we don't leave with try harder, do better. We leave with looking again at Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. Let's pray. God, we just can't say thanks enough that you come to us who are distracted, who are got our attention, our eyes jumping all over the place, and you come and make yourself known again. And you give us these eyes to see beyond this world even, to see the things of you and what you're doing. And that we can come and say, look, this, we can see that this Bible is not just words printed on a page, but it's your living word because your spirit is there. This is not some ritual of water, but it is water with your word, a living word that chooses us, that cleanses us, that makes us your child, that you know by name. You call us by name, so we turn to you. And you feed us. You're not a God who plays hide and seek. You're a God who says, here I am. Look. I'm close to you. I see it all. And I love you. And you're my joy. That is what Satan hated. That's what he envied. that he loved you more than him. That you bear his image, not him. And so to God of grace and mercy, he hears our hearts and our confessions and our brokenness. He sees all that shame. And before you can even say a word, he calls you and says, you're forgiven in the name of Jesus. In Jesus, your sins are washed away. Your heart is cleansed from all righteousness. Your mind is made new. And you're given eyes of light that can see. So eyes of faith, we look to you for where our help comes from. It's not from the hills. It's not from the mighty armies. It's not from our accomplishments or bank accounts. It's from God. And we call him together in the prayer that he's taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In your worship folder, you have the opportunity that we get to respond to God's love and work in our life and his grace, and say, God, with eyes of faith, we know this is all yours. And so because it is yours and you have called us to, to give, to be what you are, a generous giver, and part of our worshiping you and honoring you is to say, these are yours. And so we give a tithe. We give portions and generosity to God. And so you're welcome to do it that way. Also, in your connection card, man, if you want to learn about have some devotions that are based on the messages, you can click that box. You haven't been baptized, let's talk. Love to help you with that. And then also, we have two opportunities to kind of take next steps. And I kind of mentioned one about partnership membership. And if you want to be a member, you need to take partnership. But partnership is a kind of an entry place to say, okay, what is God doing here? And what is he wired and what we are about? And then membership also goes deeper into what we are about, what we believe. And so we'd love for you to be part of those opportunities. If you want to learn about them, you don't have to commit, but you just invite you to lean into those times. We'd love to have you there and help you walk through that. And if you decide to commit after that, it'd be great. If you decide, man, God has led me maybe someplace else. Well, that's what we do these things, because we want you to see Jesus in it, not just to see us. And so as we continue our worship, you're welcome to bring your offerings and your connection cards and put them on the plates up here in the front.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up. You're shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. As we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, 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 holy.